1977, George Lucas formed a legacy.
The Force is with me, and I am with the Force.
Inspired by mythology, his saga has become a passion for many.
You must feel the Force around you.
His legend has become our story.
It's true. All right.
One of resistance.
We are the spark that'll light the fire that'll bring the First Order down.
Rebellion.
Rebellion is built on hope.
And redemption.
I am a Jedi, like my father before.
This is Star Wars Reactions.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the 85th episode of Star Wars Reactions. We are so excited for this episode. It's one that I have been looking forward to for a while because we are continuing our Reactions Chat series. And we have a special guest that I'm just so excited about. So let's not hold everything back. My name's Aaron Harrison. Joining me, as always, my co-host, the Vader to my Palpatine, the David Moderate. David, brother, what's going on?
Oh, just ready to record, ready to react. And like you said, really been looking forward to doing this. I'm loving these chats. And, you know, we asked this person to come on with us, and we love him, and we're so thankful he's on with us. And so, like you said, we've been looking forward to this, and we hope our listeners are ready to listen too.
Absolutely. So we're not going to delay. We're going to bring our guest in. He is well known in the world of Star Wars. For the last 9 years, he's been hosting one of the premier Star Wars podcast, Coffee with Kenobi. He is a published Star Wars author of multiple books. His newest one coming out on May 27th called I Am Your Father, Lessons for Parents, Protectors, and Mentors. He is a celebration stage host for upcoming Celebration Anaheim, as well as his day job being a teacher, inspirational speaker, mentor, and just an all-around awesome guy. We are blessed to call him a friend. Please welcome Dan Z to the show. Dan, welcome.
Aaron and David, thank you both so much. I am ready to react. David, I'm taking your line, my friend. I'm so excited to be here, and thank you so much for your very, very gracious intro. You really know how to smile and put a guy at ease. I really appreciate it. Excited to talk Star Wars with two of my favorite Star Wars people in the galaxy. Let's do this, gentlemen.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we are so excited to have you. The three of us go way back, and yes. It's going to be fun to reacquaintance. And for those listeners who have not had an opportunity to hear, meet Dan Z yet, this is a stand-up guy. You'll never meet a nicer guy. And so we just want to get going here. And of course, just a couple of things we want to hit off the bat. Celebration, my man, you are one of the stage hosts at Celebration. You'll be host on the fan stage. I got to know, man, how do you feel?
I feel super jazzed. Like in hearing you guys say that in the intro, whoo, that gave me chills just because it seems sort of like a surreal moment. It's something I've always sort of dreamed about, and I remember going to previous celebrations and seeing stage hosts and thinking, someday I want to be up there. I want to do that, and I can't wait because I get to do it with on the fan stage, so I get to interact with even more Star Wars fans than I have possibly in a really, really, really long time, maybe ever in one particular setting or place. And I could not be more happy, more blessed, because as you both know, and are such a huge part of, Star Wars at its core, when it's at its best, is about a positive, uplifting community. And this is going to be a great time for me to get to know so many more people and build our Star Wars Rolodex of people that we admire and respect, because we bring a positive outlook on Star Wars in this franchise. And I can't wait to be a part of it.
I can't say I blame you. It is exciting to be a part of. And I honestly could say they have, could not have chosen a better person for the fan stage, because I don't know a bigger fan than you to the saga, and you just the amount of knowledge that somebody has about Star Wars, you know, outside of Lucasfilm.
Well, I mean, I think David and Aaron are pretty good too. I put them up there as well.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that. But you are a wealth of knowledge for sure. You just got the personality for that stage, and I love it. And it's when I heard you were hosting, my heart broke because I'm not going to be there.
Oh,
and it's just I'm like. So hopefully this goes so well for you that next celebration, they invite you back, and then I can be there to cheer you on at that one.
Hey, I'm all for that. Let's make that happen. I love that.
Speak it into existence, my friend.
That's right. Actualization.
Exactly. So I got to know, I mean, with the fan stage coming up, celebration coming up, what are you looking forward to the most about celebration?
You know, we've been waiting for celebration for such a long time. It was postponed. You know, there were times when I was afraid it was never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things about this community is going to Star Wars Celebration, because you get to see so many people that you know in passing online, and then they become friends and they become like family, like the two of you. Right. And that's just a really special part about it. Being together with so many people with a shared common interest and passion, seeing all the new merchandise, seeing all the happy smiling faces, seeing the costumes and the cosplay, finding, you know, getting into be in a place where Dave Filoni is going to walk us through live the Siege of Mandalore, for example, learning more stuff about the Mandalorian, the Lucasfilm panel with all the new things that are coming out. And I could go on and on and on. So to narrow one thing down is really hard to do, but I think it's probably seeing people that I haven't seen in a very long time. Even our dear friend Corey Club, who co-created Coffee with Kenobi with me, I haven't seen him in about a year because he moved to Tennessee. So being able to spend some time with him is going to be pretty special too.
Absolutely. It's going to be. I know. I remember when he moved to Tennessee. So it'll be nice that y'all get back together. And since you mentioned Corey, I got to throw this out there.
Yeah.
I love the new logo he designed for your show.
Thank you.
The new CWK logo is just gorgeous.
It's insane. I don't know if you got a chance to see it on Facebook Live, but I had him on and he introduced it and he gave like a sales pitch. When he first told me, it was just he and I on a Skype call or a Zoom call, and he had a presentation made and he pitched it to me and it was so cool. So I said, you need to do this on Facebook Live and we'll just pretend like you're doing it for the first time, even though we told everybody, look, it's not the first time, but we want you to get the kind of the feeling that I got. And it was great. When I saw it, my jaw dropped because I didn't think we could beat the 2014 logo, the orange one that was that he won an award for.
Yep.
But I feel like he did. It's really stunning. So thank you for bringing that up.
It is stunning. And he is quite the talented individual for sure when it comes to designing these logos. And he really outdid himself on this one.
And he's another level. I mean, there's no question about it.
Absolutely. He is, which is why I'm so glad I ordered my hat.
So. Oh, nice. Yes. Me too. Yeah. We got that run going. So I'm excited to get them before celebration.
Oh, it's awesome. I can't wait to get my hands on it myself. You'll be seeing pictures of it for sure. So
excellent.
All right. So you also have, you're an established author, in the Star Wars universe, and you have a new book coming out May 27th, called I Am Your Father: Lessons for Parents, Protectors, and Mentors. This is your third book, isn't it?
It is. Third book. Yeah. How about that?
I know. Awesome. So what can you, I know nothing's been released yet, but, what can you tell us about the book and what to expect?
What I can tell you is that it was tremendous fun to write and very unique challenges, but the majority of what I can say is on Amazon. So as we get closer to the date, as you mentioned, it's May 27th. Mm-hmm. It's going to actually come out when celebration is in full swing. That's the most of what I can say about it is all that's been published so far.
Okay.
But maybe if I'm a good guest and mind my manners, maybe you can have me back on and we can talk about it when the book comes out.
We will definitely have to make that happen.
I'll put in a good for me with David. So I know he's the booking agent.
Yeah, David is our booking agent. He's good at that for sure.
Hey, I got Jason Fry on and Dan Z. I'm loving the company.
He knows how to get it done. That's for sure.
That's as good as you get right there.
And between me and Jason Fry, there is one author that has a New York Times bestselling book, and it's not me.
Not yet, at least.
Well, yeah. That's, yeah, not you yet, go.
At least. It's coming. I can feel it. So, all right. Well, let's get into our questions that we have. As y'all, everybody knows with our reactions chat, we like to get to know our guests. We talk about fandom. We talk about what appeals to them in fandom. And this was just something that with somebody like Dan, just I could not let this moment pass. I want to get into these questions with you, Dan, and find out more about what makes you tick, not just as a podcast host and an author and a celebration host, but as a Star Wars fan first and foremost. So we're going to start with just the very, very first question. When and how did your fandom start?
It legitimately started back when Star Wars started. I'd seen commercials on TV for the original film. We weren't allowed to see PG movies. I actually talked about this on stars.com recently. And my mom had called my cousin Raquel and said, "Hey, the boys want to see this movie. We know you've seen it. Is it okay for kids?" Because I was 5 years old at the time. And she said, "Yeah, it's very okay. I think they'll like it. It's not too scary. There's no blood." Although she must have forgot about the cantina scene, but that we'll forgive her. And I think the boys will like it. So we went repeatedly to see it, and it was always sold out, and I was never able to do it. I remember leaving theaters 3 and 4 times, very disappointed and disheartened that I wasn't getting a chance to see this movie. And I'm convinced to this day that that is one of the reasons why I like this so much, because I had to continually delay my gratification before I could actually see it. So it was like it became sort of a quest, which led itself perfectly into the world of Star Wars and collecting. Conversely, my first Star Wars collectible, because I didn't see the movie until 1978, it was C-3PO, an action figure. I had the C-3PO action figure. My brother got Luke Skywalker, and we both got them before we saw the original film. So I already had the merchandise in my hands, and I think I brought C-3PO with me to the movie. We actually ended up seeing it for the first time at a drive-in movie theater. I remember pulling up to that booth and my dad saying, "Four for Star Wars." And I said, what? Cause I'd never been to a drive-in movie theater before. And they said, "Yeah, this is you get to see movies outside. They put up a big screen and we get to listen to it in our car." Are you kidding? So the first time I saw Star Wars was actually under the real stars at a drive-in movie theater in Metairie, Louisiana. And gentlemen, I have not looked back since.
That's awesome. That is awesome. A drive-in. I love it.
That is. The next question we got here, Dan, is, and again, I guess it really piggybacks off the last question, is maybe, you know, what was it about Star Wars that appealed to you as a fan?
You know, I think, as I said before, I do think part of it is just that the mystery of the unknown, of not being able to see it and then trying repeatedly and always being sold out. It just kind of developed sort of a taste for it because, you know, especially when you're younger, when you can't have something, sometimes you want it even more, right? But that's too simplistic. I think the general thing is that I'd never seen anything like it. It just seemed so large than life. The special effects seemed very realistic to me. Darth Vader was such an imposing figure. I remember being at a mall at an ice skating rink, of all things. I remember somebody walking around that ice skating rink dressed in a Darth Vader costume. Now, if you show me a picture of that costume now, what it actually looks like, I'm sure it's very different than how my mind pictures it. But to me, that was the real Darth Vader. And it was just so cool, right? And is there anything more exciting than a lightsaber, the sound of it? We had those old Kenner lightsabers that were yellow. They were actually like small little, not balloons, but like the plastic, almost like a beach ball. And the only noise they made is the whoosh just going through the air itself. They have this like hollow thing on the inside of it. Boy, what I wouldn't give for one of those babies right now. It'd be so great to have. But it's just, there's so much about it that it's just so intrinsically appealing to us. You know, you tap into Joseph Campbell and the Hero's Journey, that Jungian archetype that we all share, where there are certain aspects about story that we all resonate with, that we all like, that we all treasure and savor. And it's the unknown and the invitation to take on something that's bigger than yourself, to make you a well-rounded person, to encourage you to leave the comforts of your home and find new places, new people, new cultures, new events, new experiences that make us who we were destined to be. And that's very inspiring. Plus the idea of believing in something that you can't see, which is a very spiritual side, which I love about Star Wars. I'm a spiritual person myself. And I think there's a lot of strong ideas about, you know, found family and working together and believing in things, even when it seems hopeless and helpless, that continue to bring us back for more. Then you throw in the amazing music of John Williams that continues to inspire us to this very, very day. Incredible special effects, jaw-dropping action sequences, compelling characters, and the Millennium Falcon, to me, the greatest ship in any franchise, period. And you've just got something so special that, you know, for me and for all of your listeners and for the two of you I know, so many of my memories as a child and then as a college student and then as a married man and then as a father, I've got a lot of treasured memories with my children, with my wife, when I was a kid, that are revolved around Star Wars. So it just kind of taps into those core memories about so many things that we love about what is good in the world.
Well said.
And actually, what you said kind of leads into the next question I'm going to ask you, which is, of course, the themes throughout the Star Wars saga. There are so many of them, like redemptions, hope, you know, all these things that fill in the story and make them impactful to people. What theme from the Star Wars saga has impacted you the most?
You know, what's impacted me the most sort of depends on where my walk of life is at that time, because one of the things I like about Kanan Jarrus is that he goes through a major growth moment in his life in season one, and you could put a sort of a ribbon on him and be at peace with it. But every season he grows in different ways. Mm-hmm. I find that very realistic, because that's more what it's like. That's also why I like The Last Jedi so much, because I think a flawed human Luke Skywalker who doubts himself, even in spite of all these incredible powers and experiences, is so much more realistic than a Luke Skywalker that has no problems because he's able to move a bunch of rocks at the same time. I just think that's really interesting. So that human element is great. It encourages us, even as adults, there are always meaningful things in life. There are still moments of growth. You don't stop growing until you die. And even, you know, look at Obi-Wan Kenobi. One of the things I think that's interesting about him in the original trilogy is, even with enlightenment and being part of the living force, he still makes mistakes. We could certainly talk for many episodes about what that might mean and what the force is and with the afterlife. So those are big ones. But from a lesser perspective, I don't know if it resonates with me the most. One I think that is talked about the least, at least that I can recall, is forgiveness of self. Mm-hmm. You know, any of the major characters, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Kanan Jarrus, most of the cast of Rebels, except for Chopper. Chopper, I don't think would be that self-aware to forgive himself. I think all of these people have flaws and mistakes, and they have to forgive themselves in order to move on and to actually grow and find that inner peace, find that strength that only comes from love of self and realizing, you know what, I can't do it all. I need help from other people. I make mistakes. And I have to learn from them. I have to move on. Otherwise, I'm just going to be stuck. And those are, I don't know if that directly answers your question, but I think those are important themes that we don't talk about enough.
No, I love it. That was a perfect answer. And in Chopper's defense, he never has to apologize for anything.
Some of the droids he encounters might find a different approach to that.
Yeah, well, when you could find one that could still
falling.
I was going to say, if you could find one that could talk and actually tell you, Chopper, accuse them, you know, cast the first stone.
One of the biggest thrills of my Star Wars fandom is the first time I went to Lucasfilm, Matt Martin was giving me a tour, And I and this is when Rebels was in full swing. And I said, is Chopper around? And they said, yeah. And I got to see the chopper they used on Rebels Reactions. Or Rebels Recon. And yeah, Rebels Reactions is your show. And Rebels Recon. And then that's the same one that they ended up using in Rogue One as well. And I remember seeing that one. And I remember thinking of you, too, because I know how much you love Chopper, too.
Well, thank you. That's amazing. Oh, man. See, I got my own chopper sitting behind me now. So
love
that
it.
I'm working on. So got to get
so
him.
Cool.
He's all built and painted. He just needs to be wired and electrified.
Are you building him?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you. That's so cool.
Yeah. He's a friend of mine started him. Got him as far as he could take him, and I took over, and he's growing right up.
That's awesome.
So, I'll have to send you a picture of him, because he's a good boy. He sits in my office and just stares at me all day while I'm trying.
You haven't finished me, is what he's probably saying.
Yeah, that's probably it. He's like, just you get my head arms in, and I'll slap you around a little bit. Is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. For taking so long.
And then he'll flex.
Oh, then he'll. Oh, of course he will. Of course he will.
Hey, before I ask the next question, Dan, I wanted to piggyback on what you were saying, because I watched on May the 4th the Boba Fett Disney Gallery show.
Yes.
And that was excellent. And mm-hmm. when you were talking, you reminded me of, you know, Favreau was talking about, you know, story and how the heroes have to go through struggles. And so it really reminded me, you know, when you were talking about that with if you just have this overpowering character, where's the interest? And so I just wanted to point that out. And I thought that was really cool. And I think, you know, when you were mentioning taking that tour of Lucasfilm, it does lead into, and I'd be curious about this, because I don't know that you could nail it down or narrow it down, but it asks, you know, our question, our list here has, do you have a favorite Star Wars moment or experience?
Oh, gosh.
Welcome, Dan.
Yeah, no, look, I've
had a lot. So
I'm very blessed. I'm very, very blessed. The cool things I've gotten to do. And I could list a lot of fun things, a lot of fun moments. Maybe it doesn't happen yet. I mean, how could it be anything else than meeting Harrison Ford?
Mm.
That's it. I mean, I got to meet George. I got to meet George Lucas. I got to put my arm around him and thank him. And I'm convinced that because of that moment, I had the confidence to do what ended up happening the next year. I was at the Rise of Skywalker premiere, and I was able to bring my beautiful wife with me. And after the movie was over, and she'd never been to a movie premiere before, after the movie was over, Disney contacted me and said, would you like to come to the VIP cast after party? Well, gentlemen, there's only one answer to that question. Yes. Thank you. So I go in there, and as soon as I walk in, someone says, looked at me and said, Harrison's over there, because they knew. And I looked at my wife and I said, I'm going to go talk to Harrison. She goes, go. And that was it. I refused to think about it anymore, because it would have been very easy to talk myself out of that moment. I wasn't going to do it, because you get one chance at this. Yep. It's one chance. And I was not going to blow it. I waited my whole life. I walked up to him, tapped him on the shoulder. And what followed was a good 5 to 7 minute conversation with, to me, one of the greatest actors of our time. Yeah. And I had him laughing. He had me laughing. We were shaking hands, patting each other on the back, talking about education, making some jokes about, he says, well, if you're a teacher, what are you doing here? And we just had some great laughs with that. And at the end, he took a picture with me. And then I got to say this actual sentence. I said, hey, can I introduce you to my wife? He says, of course. So I said, Deanna's there. This is Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford, this is my wife, Deanna. I mean, come on. Come on. Even saying it now, it's been a couple years, and I still can't believe that actually happened. I thanked him. He smiled, turned around, and I looked at my wife and I said, I just talked to Harrison Ford. And all of a sudden, boom, tears just went streaming down my face because it had actually happened. I thank God right away in that moment for that actually happening. And then for the rest of the night, look out, baby. Nothing will stop me. I think I interact with every single star that was at that thing. You know, Ian McDiarmid, Billy Dee Williams, the cast of Stranger Things, Daisy Ridley, you know, whoever was still there, I talked to him. And it was just, it was absolute bliss. And then after we went over to the hotel lobby, and everybody from Lucasfilm was there. So me and Clayton and Leland Chi were hanging out. Pablo Chadwick, Andy Gutierrez was there. Everybody was reliving their moments. We had just seen the final film, The Skywalker Saga. Then Dave Filoni walks in, and we start joking with him about his appearance in season one of Mando. I mean, it was just like sort of the greatest hits. And, you know, what can I say? Just hearing it out loud. Look, I'm very blessed. I take none of this for granted. I work very, very hard, but I'm also very, very blessed that God puts these situations in my life and in my path. And my honest hope is that people who listen to Coffee with Kenobi or talk to me or listen to you guys will feel like they're a part of it too, because look, I'm a fan. There's nothing fake about me. I'm just living a childhood dream, and I plan on to keep on living it, because I'm not even close to done with what I want to accomplish with this show.
Well, Dean, awesome. Yeah, you truly have made, you know, all of us feel like we've come along for the ride versus, Aaron and I have talked to you privately at Disney World, and
yeah,
we spent time with you, and you're like Aaron said, we mean it. You're the real deal. And there's a humbleness, but you know, the other thing that Aaron and I know is how hard you work, and nothing's been, you know, handed over to you for nothing. You've busted your hump, and we're proud as heck of you. And we do. We thank you for taking us along, and you do it with CWK Live and then with the main show, you know, on Thursdays. And you really, really do. You bring people along. And in fact, I'll do this plug. You know, Dan has been talking on his show and on the website about the podcast meetup there at Star Wars Celebration. I actually went to that in 2015. And just had a blast, and you know, Dan and Coffee with Kenobi's there, and a big thing that Dan's been emphasizing is you don't have to be a podcaster to go. It's if you love podcasts, come and meet at the Hilton there at the Anaheim Convention Center, right?
That's right. That's right. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, and I definitely, if you're out there, definitely recommend going to the podcast meetup, because it's just a lot of fun. The only word of advice I will give you, if you do go, make sure you don't go with a broken hand like I did.
Yes, don't break anything.
don't break anything before you go, because that tends to make the interesting a little more, the evening a little more interesting.
I still can't believe the amount of time you spent and the smile on your face, and little to know that I found out that you were in tremendous pain.
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't for that cup of ice in that hand, that's the only reason I made it through that night. It's because I lodged the cup of ice in that hand and was walking around, and just everybody thought I was just carrying my drink. No, I was just trying to survive.
Oh, oh. Well, I appreciate you guys' kind words. You've always been so so kind to me in the show. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why back when things were just starting to get even more hectic, when we did our side show, The Rebels Reactions, Aaron, you'd been a guest many times on that show. And Corey and I had said, you know, Aaron's really good and he really loves Rebels and he's just doing a great job. And I said, well, let's have him just take over that show. And then we had a meetup on the Magic Kingdom. Yep. And I went down with the group, a school group around Thanksgiving. And that was the first time I met David.
Yes.
And Sandra from Fangirls Going Rogue over in what's now where Starbucks is. Yep. How perfect, right? And I remember David meeting you right away and you talking about some of the things I'd written on stars.com and your level of insight, the way you were talking about the articles. I remember being impressed. And I heard you on the show with Aaron, and I said to Aaron, well, Dave's got to be your co-host. I mean, he's great. And you guys vibe well together. And look at what the two of you have done. I couldn't be prouder of the two of you and impressed with the two of you. So, hey, man, it's the Mutual Admiration Society here on Star Wars Reactions.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you. Yes. We wouldn't be here without, if it wasn't for you. You got the ball rolling for us. So that was, it's, we are forever indebted to you, my friend.
Well, look, guys, that's very cool and very kind of you, but I firmly believe in my heart, I am just a mirror. You guys would have found a way regardless, but I'm happy to do anything I can.
Awesome. We appreciate it. So, well, we know your time's valuable, so we want to go through the rest of these questions.
Yeah.
So you can move on with your busy life. So we've been talking about fandom and how your fandom started, what you like in fandom and the themes and everything. But, you know, since Star Wars was released in 1977, a lot has changed. In fandom throughout those years. And you've been heavily involved in fandom, especially over the last 9 years. And I don't see that changing anytime soon, but in your eyes, looking back on everything, how have you seen fandom change? What has been the biggest change you've seen in fandom through the years?
Honestly, I think it's the interwebs, kids. I really do. I mean, yep. Think about, you know, I remember, you know, when you got to talk Star Wars with people, it was at school or work. I remember working in a pizza joint when I got out of high school, and there was a guy that was a delivery driver, and I was one of the cooks, and he said, hey, have you met Bryce? He's a big Star Wars fan. And so as soon as you hear that, you know, you just gravitate towards that, and he and I hit it off right away. And just had a great time talking Star Wars. So whenever you would find people, because it was much more of a, I wanted to say it was an underground thing because it wasn't, but there wasn't a ton of merchandise up until, you know, 1995 when Hasbro/Kenner started re-releasing new figures, like the really muscular figures for that first wave of the Power of the Force line. And then Timothy Zahn's Thrawn trilogy. Those things kind of re-brought it back. But other than that, you didn't really see a ton of Star Wars shirts. And if you did, it was kind of like, oh, okay, that guy's a Star Wars fan. It wasn't as mainstream as it is now. And then the internet came alive and message boards were a thing and MySpace of all things. And we had a group of a group on MySpace, and we had our own private message board, and we called it Geeks Helping Geeks. And the way that it worked was that, you know, all of us were fans and we lived in different parts of the country. And let's say there was a brand new Darth Vader, for example, that came out and I couldn't find it in Illinois. But a friend of mine in California could, and I could say, hey, I could just put out there on the message board, hey, if anybody sees this Darth Vader, I'm on the lookout. And when they found it, if you find it, because we're all collectors, we all like to do the hunt, then they would buy it for you and mail it to you, and you'd PayPal them. And then we would start to show pictures of our collection on there. And that was a really, really fun thing. StarWars.com had a wonderful message board system. I was very, very active on when Revenge of the Sith came out. I was on that thing all the time. In fact, that's the first time I ever talked to Pablo, ironically. And you know, I don't know if he remembers that, and I'm sure he doesn't. But that was cool. And just getting that chance to write your thoughts down about Star Wars and have people comment on what you thought about Star Wars, and you could comment on their stuff, was such an empowering thing. And when I think about it now, I think that's one of the reasons why I was drawn to podcasting. This notion of being able to not only share your thoughts, but also be a soundboard for other people to share their thoughts and ideas as well, was just a very incredible, effective tool. You know, the prequels very much reignited all of our fandoms and brought new collectibles into the world. You know, you could walk into a Pizza Hut and get a large pizza with Padme Amidala on a pizza box, which I actually had for years and years until my wife said, why do you have a pizza box? Yeah, well, that's probably a good question. So that was all part of it. Message boards, and then the Force Cast. You know, the original Force Cast. That was the first Star Wars podcast, and hearing like a radio show, which was a podcast, which is something we had just learned about And the fact that they talked about Star Wars every week was such a game changer to me. It was just so exciting. And just knowing that that existed became a medium I instantly fell in love with. And again, points towards where eventually all three of us went, which is getting a podcast of our own, because we liked the idea of the medium. We liked the idea of sharing our thoughts and opinions, and then ultimately giving other people a platform too. And then the first celebration I went to was Star Wars Celebration 3 in Indianapolis. That was the first one that George Lucas went to. And I didn't get to see him, but I was in the building when he was in the building. And I just, that just was a powerhouse moment for me. I remember standing in lines, and this was before the internet was super, super prevalent. I mean, it was certainly there, but it wasn't to the degree it is now. And it certainly wasn't on cell phones and things like that. Boy, this makes me sound like a dinosaur, but I'm not, kids. I'm not. And I remember talking to people, and people, some people would listen to what I was saying and some people wouldn't. And, you know, I'm sure I was the same and vice versa, because you don't really know everybody. It's not like you had Twitter or things like that. So people weren't instantly recognizable. But I remember thinking in one of the lines for something, I remember thinking, you know, I've got a lot to say about Star Wars. I wish, you know, I wish people would listen. I wish I could get to know more people that like Star Wars besides me and my small circle of friends. There's got to be a way to do more in the community. Like, honestly, I remember thinking that very, very strongly. And then eventually it became social media. And Star Wars and social media, good, bad, or indifferent, I choose to only look at the good and mute the people who just want to be negative and nasty. Mm-hmm. That has probably been one of the biggest proponents of it as well. You know, again, it's brought a lot of other side things to it as well. I think those things have always been there. But it just depends on where you focus your energy and where you focus your attention. So really, merchandise has been a big one, but the social media and the internet and the franchise enhancement of the fan community because of the technology that we have, I think has made a massive difference. I mean, I wouldn't have met you two without the internet, right?
True.
Without social media and things like that. And that's, we're able to connect with more Star Wars fans worldwide because of the miracle that it actually is. I heard Tony Kornheiser, one of my favorite podcasters, say one time, the three biggest advancements in the world are fire, the catalytic converter, and the internet. I mean, those are all the biggest enhancements on our society, and Star Wars really grew because of the internet to me.
Absolutely. I know, that's how I found you.
Exactly.
Because it was after my first Star Wars weekends, and everything just, the fandom just came back alive for me back then. And I'm like, I got to have more. And I started looking, and all of a sudden, Coffee with Kenobi popped up. I'm like, ooh. And they're like, and I pull it up, and you were only like a couple episodes in at that point.
Yeah.
One or two episodes in at that point. And I was like, okay, I got me a show, and I listened, and I loved it from the get go. And,
well, it makes me so happy. I remember that. I remember that so much. You were one of the first listeners we ever had. Look at that. Isn't that crazy? It's amazing. And you're still listening and smiling. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Wow. Been a long,
you're stuck with me, Dan. You're stuck with me.
Hey, right back at you, brother.
Hey, and by the way, people, we're recording this on May 9th. In 3 days, May the 12th, will be the 9th anniversary of Coffee with Kenobi. Right, Dan? Do I have it correct?
That's right. You got that, my brother. You got it. Yes, that's right. 9 years of the show. How about that?
And Dan, the perfect month to start it in May.
Yeah. My son was, the show came out, and then 31 days later, my son Mason was born. So they're the same age. And I remember one of the first shows I ever did, he was in his little crib at my feet while I was recording one of the shows, and he was sound asleep. And if you listen to some of those old shows, you can hear his little breathing in the background. Oh, just melts your heart.
Right, Aaron? He's become quite the Star Wars podcaster there and producer. he does such a great job, man. He's
Thank so you.
Nice, man. Wow.
But we're very proud of him.
Yeah, it's fun to see all his Sabacc plane on the Galactic Star Cruiser. And
oh, man, yes.
Wow, he's just He just looks like he's having a ball. That's wonderful to see. So,
thank you so much. And I really hope that next summer, the both of you will join us on the Galactic Star Cruiser and maybe we can all play Sabacc together.
That's it. I've started saving.
Yep. I love it.
There we go. That'll be so you're coming back for the Star Cruiser.
Yes. Oh, yes. The moment I walked on that ship, I thought this one time is not enough.
so not a part of our notes, but I got to ask you, since you were privileged to be a part of the Star Cruiser there at the launch, what was your favorite part of being on the Star Cruiser and your favorite experience there?
I mean, you know, it did be clear, you know, I'm only able to do it because Disney hosted me, right? I was very fortunate. I didn't have to pay anything. So the question I always get is it worth it? Is it worth the money? I mean, you know, I can't tell you how to spend your money or your dime, but I can tell you that if you save your money for it, because I don't think any vacation is worth getting into debt for, I think it is worth every penny because I got to experience it with my wife and my son. I mean, the three of us had very different levels of Star Wars fandom, and the three of us had an equally wonderful time for very, very different reasons. Walking around, you know, lightsaber training, spending the day in Batuu, seeing my son or my wife light up because they solved a clue or a puzzle. Those were all just absolutely spectacular. It's like a murder mystery and an escape room and a Star Wars fantasy camp all wrapped into one. So that's why we're doing the giveaway, not the giveaway, but we're doing the experience the summer of 2023 with MEI and Mousefan Travel and us, because it's just so much fun to do with people that you care about that also love Star Wars too. And when I was on that one, you know, Matt Martin, Ashley Eckstein, Kristen Baver, James Burns, DJ from Star Wars, like, and there's a bunch of well-known Star Wars fans on that thing, and that was great, but that doesn't have to be the way it is. All you gotta do is be open to meeting new people. I certainly highly encourage you to go with people that are friends of yours, because it just adds so much to the experience. But it's just, Aaron, it's just so unique. It's just, there's really nothing like it. It's just, it's really spectacular.
Very cool. I love it. You know, to see all the pictures coming out and to see the videos you posted and the pictures, you could tell it's just an exciting experience. So it is something I definitely am hoping to do someday. So
yes, that absolutely would be great. I hope I get the good fortune to be on it with you.
That would just make it that much more better. So we're going to go one more question before we hit our speed round and close things out here. So we've talked about the history of fandom. We've talked about your experiences in fandom. So the final question before our speed round, how do you feel about the current direction of the saga?
I feel cautiously optimistic because I love what they're doing on Disney Plus. I love all the shows. I like the animated stuff. I like the interconnectivity of the Mandalorian universe, Book of Boba Fett, you know, Ahsoka, wherever else is going to come out of that. It's really strong. I think Disney Plus revolutionized streaming because they decided, no, we're not going to do a big entertainment dump where you get all the episodes at once. We're going to do a slow burn where you're going to talk about the show for a couple months, not just for a couple of hours or a couple of days. And I think that has made all the difference. It's introduced us to some of the coolest Star Wars characters you could ever possibly dream of. I can't imagine Star Wars now without the Mandalorian and Grogu, among others.
Yep.
And I think that's great. So, but the reason I'm cautiously optimistic is I still think, as great as the Disney Plus stuff is, and Obi-Wan Kenobi's coming out, and of course that's going to be a blockbuster, I'm very excited about all of it. But I really think Star Wars at its core needs to be really powerful, epic movies in a movie theater. And I don't mean, like, they can't replicate the Marvel thing because that's a separate idea. I think Star Wars, the magic of Star Wars, the reason I said I fell in love with Star Wars is you go into a movie theater with a crowd of people and you ooh and you ah and you clap at the spectacle of the big screen. And Star Wars, maybe more than any movie, was meant to be on a big screen. So I hope that at Celebration in a couple of weeks, we get to find more information about Star Wars on the silver screen, because to me, that is where the bread and butter is. I mean, if you think about the excitement we had when Episode 1 came out, or when Episode 7 came out, there was nothing like it. I mean, as exciting as Star Wars has been to the theme parks, Disney Plus, books, whatever, nothing matches the knowledge that a new trilogy is coming out. There's just nothing like it. It's just so spellbindingly cool and exciting in the anticipatory nature of it. I'm sure David could talk forever about the psychological perks of that, the dopamine, the effect that we get from all of that stuff is absolutely tremendous. So that's why I'm cautiously optimistic, because I love what's happening, but I really hope we get some news about future movies, because I think that is the ultimate bread and butter.
Well said. Well said. There is just something about seeing it in a theater that is life-changing.
Yes, that's right.
It truly is. It truly is. So, all right. So we have our speed round up next, Dan. These are just five questions. We're just going to alternate asking you just five simple questions. Well, they're supposed to be simple, but we usually throw people off with them.
I love it. I like the challenge.
So, but we're going to go ahead and ask you those. And so, David, you want to kick off with the first speed round question?
Yeah. To be fair, I probably know him since I'm a big loyal fan of the show, but that doesn't matter. I didn't think in advance about what I'm going to say. I'm just going to see what happens.
You know, Greg McLaughlin did his research.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That little rascal. I love Greg. I loved hearing him on your guys' show, by the way. I told you both that, all three of you that separately, but that was a great, terrific show.
Yeah, that was a fun show as well.
I think you've said it before too, Dan. I think he's got maybe close to the perfect radio voice.
He does. Yes. I'm jealous.
It's incredible. All right. Well, this piggybacks off what you were just talking about, seeing Star Wars in the theater. And so we'll kick it off with the speed round. First question, favorite movie?
Oh, see? You know, I juggle between three of them, the original, The Empire Strikes Back, and The Last Jedi, because they're all powerful for different reasons. I've historically said The Empire Strikes Back. I think The Last Jedi is the best made of the Star Wars films. And that's not to knock the others. It's just to me, another level. But I think the original, it's because when I think about the bulk of my Star Wars memories and moments, they're all very much encapsulated in the wonder of that first film. And that's still my favorite collectibles are from the original Star Wars anyway.
Mm. Very cool. Very cool. Not the answer I expected, but very awesome. Cool. I like that. Threw me off. Perfect. Good. So we all know your favorite character is the Millennium Falcon, but what is your second favorite character? I had to get
Tom Corey put you up to this. Us right now.
Yeah, right. So the question is, what's my favorite character?
Yes, sir.
And then I can answer why the Millennium Falcon isn't a character, but I don't want to break the internet. So, look, my favorite Star Wars character is still Darth Vader, because he is, to me, still the most compelling, the most Shakespearean. And I am combining Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker together in that aspect. But I'm thinking Anakin Skywalker as a man suffering inside it. Encased in a black tomb of armor, hating himself in a way that we can't even possibly fathom, hopefully damaged physically, mentally scarred beyond recognition as well, convinced that he destroyed the love of his life, which you could certainly argue that he did, and the evil that instead of getting out of his own way and finding a place for forgiveness, like I mentioned earlier in the show, he continues to perpetuate self-hate and loathing and make mistake after mistake, even when he knows it's bad for him, because he has created such a toxic pattern of behaviors that he can't stop. He's got a horrible person that continues to twist the knife in the name of Sheev Palpatine. But ultimately, he realizes his tragic flaws, fixes them, is redeemed through the Son, which doesn't get much more Christian than that, and then becomes a better person as a result. Forgiveness, redemption, acknowledgement, and growth. I can't imagine I'll ever have a different answer than that.
All right. Well, I think that might point us to the answer for the next question, but we'll still ask it. Empire.
We'll see.
All right. Empire or rebellion?
Oh, come on. It's the Empire's got the cooler stuff. They got the better theme song, but it's rebellion all the way. Rebellions, as you know, gentlemen, are built on hope.
Ooh.
And I think that's what gets me excited about every day, is that hope that things are always going to be better and that we can work together to achieve that. And I love that as a parent. I love that as an educator. I love that as a Star Wars fan. But a special shout out to AT-ATs. They're great. Stormtroopers, great. Love it. Love it. But no, I'm rebellion all the way.
All right. And don't forget, the dark side has cookies.
That's true. That's true. We can't forget that.
All right. What is your favorite moment from any of the movies, shows, your favorite moment from the saga?
Well, since Corey isn't here, I'm going to say I have a tie. He doesn't like doing ties on CW Caperover.
Yep.
But I have a tie. It is between in The Last Jedi when Luke Skywalker faces off the First Order. And they've got the entire First Order looking at him, and he's by himself. I have goosebumps again. Every time I talk about this, I legitimately have goosebumps. And he's facing them, and this is before we knew he was actually a Force projection. And I saw that for the first time at a media screening in Chicago, and it was about a week before it came out. And I clapped, and I screamed, and I cheered like I was watching Michael Jordan in the NBA Finals, because this was the moment I could not wait for. And then tied with that is when Luke Skywalker shows up at the end of Season 2 of The Mandalorian, because I didn't expect it. I lost my mind. I was screaming. I'm like, I can't believe it. It's Luke Skywalker. It's Luke Skywalker. Mason's looking at me. He's smiling. We're clapping. Again, it's interesting because Luke isn't even my favorite character. He's probably not even in my top five. I love him. I like other characters more for different reasons. But those two moments typify the electricity of what Star Wars can do and the thrills that it gives us. And it just so happens that both of mine are cemented around Luke Skywalker.
Wow. Man, how do you top those? All right. Well, hey, here's our last question in the speed round.
Okay.
And all right, brother, it's favorite soundtrack or song within the saga.
So favorite soundtrack or a song within the saga. Well, that's a tough one, actually. Is it The Spark? Is that the song when Luke faces off against the First Order?
I think so.
I believe that's what it is. I don't have it in front of me, or at least not within reaching distance. It's either that one or the main title and finale from the original Star Wars. In fact, I was listening to it the other day. I was building that brand new Lego land speeder that came out. I have my original copy vinyl of the Star Wars soundtrack, and I listened to it when I was building this thing.
Nice.
And yeah, it's so great. And when I was listening to it, the first track is the main title, but it's also the ending of the film, and it kind of goes through the greatest moments. And that thrill we felt when we left that theater multiple times, you know, hearing da-da-da, and just the triumphant moments in that are pretty spectacular. But I have to give a special shout to the throne room, an end title of the original, because when I got married, there's a lot of planning as you build them that goes into a wedding. We couldn't find a song to leave the church. And we kept saying all these different religious songs and other songs. And as I said, I'm a very religious guy for sure. But ultimately, I'm like, look, I got a song. And so I pull out my phone and I say to the organist and to my wife, I said, what about this? I don't tell them what it is. I find Throne Room, I hit play, and I let it play for about 45 seconds, and it's beautiful. And my wife certainly couldn't tell you the name of any Star Wars songs to save her life, and which is fine. Actually, it's kind of fun. And the organist didn't know. And Deanna says, "That's nice. Is that Star Wars?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "All right, let's do it." Boom.
Wow.
Yes. So at the end, they say, "You may kiss the bride." And the organist starts playing the Throne Room on the piano. And everyone in that church, I kid you not, guys, they clapped and they laughed and they smiled. There was so much collective happiness in the room because everyone there loves you and knows you because it's your wedding. Yep. And they were so happy because they knew what that meant. They knew that Dan Zare was so happy listening to Star Wars and his beautiful bride. You know, I definitely batted way, you know, way out of my batting average league marrying her. That if she was cool with that and she was happy too, this was the match for me. And man, what a great moment.
Wow.
Love it. Love it.
Perfect. I don't think I've ever told that story on the show before. So cool.
I was going to say, it's the first time I've heard that one. I've been listening for years. So I love that. So
it's so great.
It's always something new to learn.
That's right. That sounds familiar.
Yes, always. Always. So, Dan, of course, if somebody wants to talk Star Wars with you, follow you, hear more about what you do, about what you're doing at Celebration or even Coffee with Kenobi, how would they go about doing that, sir?
So there are a couple of ways you can certainly find Coffee with Kenobi. All of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, YouTube. You can email the show feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. As for me personally, I'm on Twitter at Mr. Zehr, M-R-Z-E-H-R. You can email me, danz@coffeewithkenobi.com. You can find my writings on stars.com. I'm currently in the middle of a series for stars.com about featuring famous starships in the galaxy, which has been a ton of fun to write and to explore and to research. You can find me if you're going to be at Star Wars Celebration. Come to the fan stage and say hello. Let me know that Aaron and David sent you. I'll be sure to say hello for sure. Looking forward to that. And gosh, I think those are the main ways, gentlemen. I had the best time, and I knew I would. I had the best time with you two. It's been such a pleasure. You guys are such a positive light. You really know how to make a guest smile and feel welcome. And I really appreciate your guys' friendship and conversation.
Well, we appreciate you, Dan. And we are so thankful you're able to join us. It's always a fun and always a delight to talk to you and get to visit and just chit chat.
Yes. Likewise.
So do you got a moment to hang around and help us close the show and actually be a part, be the first one to hear this week's dad joke of the week?
Oh, you know it. I am a big fan of dad jokes, and yours are very fun, especially Dave's reactions to them.
Just brutal, Dan.
They are brutal. This one is specific for you, my friend. So we're going to close everything out. David, if somebody wants to talk Star Wars with you, my friend, how would they go about doing that?
Absolutely. The best way is definitely through Twitter. That is at David_Modders, M-O-D-D-E-R-S. There is an S on the end. Instagram, just put in my name, David Modders, or email. And that is David@StarWarsReactions.com.
Very good. Very good. And if you want to talk Star Wars with me, hit me up on Twitter at TAHarris121079 or email me Aaron@StarWarsReactions.com. Make sure you're following the show's social media. We are on Facebook, on Pinterest, and Instagram at SW Reactions, and on Twitter at SW Reactions Pod, or email the show@StarWarsReactions.com. So we have this week's dad joke of the week. This one, I didn't even put this in the notes because I wanted Dan to hear it the exact same time as David, and David not get a sneak peek at it. So And normally when I put him in the show notes, I don't include the punchline. So he knows what the question is and he can has time to maybe figure it out, but he never does. So here we go, gentlemen. This week's dad joke of the week. What did Han Solo change his name to when he married Leia?
I don't know. What did Han Solo change?
Han Duo?
Close. Han Duet.
Bravo.
had to throw a Solo in there.
You never disappoint. I love it.
I try not to. You know. So again, Dan, thank you so much for joining us. It is a pleasure as always.
Thank you both so much. This was something I was really looking forward to for a long time. And thank you for putting a smile on my face and having me on the show. I'm just really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And we appreciate you, David, my friend, until next time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Aaron. And just great to record with both of you.
Perfect. And we want to thank everybody for listening in. We appreciate each and every one of you. We love y'all. We're praying for y'all. Wish y'all the best. Be kind to somebody this week. Enjoy your week. Remember, this is your place for elegant discussion for a more civilized age.
If you'd like to share your thoughts, you can email us at show@StarWarsReactions.com. For our show notes and the latest news from the Star Wars universe, visit our website at www.StarWarsReactions.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at @SWReactionsPod or on Facebook at Star Wars Reactions. If you enjoy our show, please leave a review on iTunes. This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or by Lucasfilm Limited. It's intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.StarWars.com. Star Wars. All names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and the respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Star Wars Reactions unless otherwise indicated. Star Wars Reactions. Elegant discussion for a more civilized age.